Princess Ping proudly presents The Unstoppable Ride by P.J. McNamara, as read by the author. Chapter 1. An amusement park is not mature until it's had at least one fatality. Although the rides are made as safe as possible, it's those rides which claimed at least one life which attract the most interest. Rumors spread and circulate about those rides which prove to be the most deadly, yet such tragedies result in the removal of the ride, or at least a change in name. Such attractions are not something parks wish to advertise. They seek to attract friendly families with little care and a lot of cash. Rides which claim lives may attract a few, but tend to dissuade many more. Nobody wishes to climb onto a lively ride, only to fall from it dead. But death is not something a private investigator is allowed to handle. They can locate missing persons, but should they find them deceased, it's up to the investigator to turn that case and all evidence they have over to the police. Although, one must first be able to reach the police, and in one particular case, that proved true. A smashed machine at Happyland dragged me into a case I would have trouble getting out of. Granted, this crime didn't have the glamour of the robbery of some rich businessman who stepped on more than a few toes on his climb to the top, but since my secretary threatened to wear more conservative outfits if she didn't get paid, I took the job. I had no difficulty locating the park since it made a point along every roadside billboard to advertise it. After entering the vacant parking lot and locating a spot I would never have acquired while the park operated, I left my car and walked through the gates to an automated clown greeting me with summer sun cheer. "Welcome to Happyland," shouted the clown. Right away I had my first clue as to what prompted the attack. "I've come to see Mr. Happy," I said to the machine. "Wait here, please," the clown replied. My eyes wandered above the distracting displays as I waited. The California orange and sunshine yellow of Happyland differed from the usual dark alleys and smoky bars I normally found myself in. I almost longed for them instead of the gaudy plaster-painted designs radiating around me bright enough to be visible to a blind man. To my left, past some large brick buildings set back as to nearly hide it, I could make out a shrunken steam train sitting in wait to be brought to life with passengers. To my right, the tracks for a light transit train covered a tunnel leading to another part of the park. Ahead, a long empty footpath lined with closed rides and shuttered booths stretched out towards a tall, distant hotel. This park held its share of secrets and, though at that time I only held interest in one, I would come to discover many I would never expect. A small speck appeared towards the furthest end of the path and approached me until it grew into an electric cart carrying a face of more organic origins than my current companion. The cart rolled to a stop just a few steps away, and a man dressed in a gray pinstripe and the ugliest tie ever recorded stepped out to greet me. He brushed the remains of an aging comb over away from his nose-dominated face, then extended his ample arm towards me. "Greetings, I'm Mr. Happy. I take it you're Mr. Nail?" I took his handy offer and shook it. "Nail, though you can call me Rhett." His fingers clamped my hand before releasing it. "That sounds a little less strange. Anyway, I called you here to investigate a broken robot." I rubbed my free hand behind my back to hide my weakness. "Wouldn't a technician make more sense?" Mr. Happy put his face in hideously close to mine. It didn't break down, it was smashed. I took a step back and brought my face back with me. "Have you called the police?" Mr. Happy locked his eyes into mine. "Yes, I called them. They dropped by and took some notes, then left. I haven't heard a word from them since. They don't seem interested." I dropped my eyes to avoid his. "I suppose not." I had to agree. Unless the Grim Reaper had cause to visit, neither did the police. Unfortunately, most thieves and vandals knew this all too well, and took advantage of this. It's just as well. Mr. Happy opened a small door behind the greeting clown and flipped a switch. Last time they were here, they did more damage than just one machine. I even had to buy a new mini donut machine. They took the old one for evidence and never returned it. He shut the compartment door. I felt more relaxed about the clown, but still preferred not to stare too long at it without sunglasses. Last time? When was that? Mr. Happy patted with puffy paw the back of the now silent clown. Some years ago, you might remember it, they arrested a man for jewel robbery. They tore this place apart looking for the stuff, but never did find it. I sprang to the obvious speculation. You don't suppose? Mr. Happy finished my thought for me as he stepped back towards the cart. That someone was looking for the jewels? We get treasure hunters here all the time. Even our own staff is taking a crack at it. But as I said, the police scoured this place fairly thoroughly, and this place is maintained on a regular basis, so even if the jewels were still here, it's likely they would have been found by now. I made my way towards the passenger side of the cart. Is it possible that one of your employees found the jewels and kept them? Mr. Happy climbed in behind the cart wheel. The cart slumped a little as his seat hit the red vinyl seat of the cart. They're more likely to have turned them in for the reward. It's not like they're not traceable. Besides, I know I can trust them. Well, most of them anyway. Grabbing the front rail of the cart, I climbed in beside him and sat down. Still, human nature being as it is, Mr. Happy energized the electric cart, which is why most of my workers aren't human. They're machines. He turned it about and drove down the cement path into the park. The cart moved faster than I expected. With no seat belts, I clung to the rim of the seat. You've staffed your park with machines? Mr. Happy transferred his attention between me and his destination in about equal servings. Pretty much, I still need real people to inspect rides and administrate, but for routine tasks such as maintenance and service, I rely upon robots, like the one you met at the gates. You don't mind if I talk with some of your human staff, do you? The park seemed a little vacant for even such a place during the off-season. Mr. Happy had been the only human I saw since arriving. As such, I half expected his answer. Mr. Happy didn't bother to look towards me with his response. Not at all, but you probably won't find any here today. They're on vacation. Vacation? The idea of sending his staff away on vacation at this time seemed strange, particularly in light of the vandalism. Aren't you open in a month? Mr. Happy responded as if routine dictated sending workers away weeks prior to opening. That's why the employees are on vacation now. They'll be back in a week. I would have thought it would take longer to get things ready. I confess I knew nothing about the amusement park business, and could only trust he knew best. But given the timing, it limited my ability to ask around. I doubted any of the machines would have anything to say, at least nothing that wouldn't encourage me to take a whack at them. As we talked, I could see a large building arising before me. We continued in conversation towards it, with Mr. Happy the primary speaker. As I said, most of the things around here are automated. The machines can take care of most of the preparation. The real work starts opening day, but the staff will be back next week to help get things in order. Mr. Happy drove me from the main gates, past silent trains and bare tracks, back into the park. He explained to me that the long distance from the main gates had to do with the expansion of the park over time. Originally, the gates were further in, but as the park expanded, it took over its old parking area and now stretched at least a kilometer back. Further expansion, past low-lying hills and behind the tracks, led into a newer section of the park. Needless to say, and as I would later discover, a quick exit wouldn't be possible on foot. We reached the place where the broken machine still lay, at the entry to a tilting circular ride designed to create only moderate nausea. As I left the cart, I saw before me the corpse of an android normally used for ticket selling. Someone had ripped the torso from its perch and smashed its head into the ground. A small amount of old oil and blackened grease pooled as blood across the ground. I looked down at the fallen fare-taker and kept back to avoid the grease staying in my shoes, as if it would make a difference. Someone didn't get the right change? Mr. Happy stood on the opposite side of the once-working machine. I doubt this was a robbery. It wouldn't do them any good. We don't leave the money in these machines when they're not in use, especially when the park is closed. I stepped over to the machine's perch and peered down into the cavity the body once covered. I could see gears and wires, but nothing of value. Maybe they weren't after money. Mr. Happy's head moved half a shake. If you're thinking the stolen jewels could have been in here, you can forget it. Every year, each machine gets a full servicing, so if something like jewelry was hidden inside, it would have been discovered by now. This was probably just vandals. I stepped back a step or two and looked about the base carefully. Aside from an access port, which didn't respond to my hands, I saw nothing of note. If you think it was vandalism, then why call me in? Mr. Happy stood with the thumb of his left hand in his pant pocket. And his right hand set down against the top of the robot's base as he watched my fumbling. I'm hoping you can track down whoever did it before they do any more damage, he said with a relaxed voice. With my staff on holidays, park security is limited to mainly automatic systems. Systems which should have detected anyone sneaking into the park. I need human eyes to look at this. I knelt down and looked at the wreckage. I don't see any tagging. Mr. Happy removed his hand from the machine hastily to catch sight of his palm, as if it held something of importance. Tagging? I rubbed a few fingers over the surface of the steel and checked them for residue, but only detected a little dust. Spray paint or something like it. Usually vandals will mark their damage. And they don't usually just damage one thing. Is there any other damage in the park? Assured nothing resided on either side of his hand, he dropped it to one side. None that I'd come across. With my fingers pressed against the top, the firm base assisted my standing. I turned my attention towards Mr. Happy. Do you mind if I look around? Mr. Happy brought his body to as upright a stance as it would allow. Not at all. A welcoming hand waved to one side. In fact, I'd like you to stay here tonight in case whoever did it comes back. His suggestion unsettled me. I expected to be here only a couple of hours, then return tomorrow after some research and a rest in a familiar bed. Stay the night? I wasn't expecting to stay overnight. Mr. Happy turned his body about as he stepped towards the cart. That's all right. I've already had a room in our hotel prepared for you. It has everything you'll need, including a toothbrush. I brushed off my hands and moved towards the passenger seat of the cart. I'd better go home first and get a change of clothes. Already taken care of. Before sitting down, Mr. Happy reached into the breast pocket of his shirt, pulled out a bright orange cell phone and opened it. His fumbling fingers dialed a few numbers, his cheek pressed into the face of the phone as he talked. Melanie, would you meet us up at the hotel? After waiting a few seconds to get an answer, he closed it up. I looked across the yellow and orange striped top of the cart at him. I thought you said all employees were on holiday. Mr. Happy looked back as he tucked his cell phone into his breast pocket. There's still business to deal with during the downtime, but Melanie's the only other person working here. I'd better call my secretary to let her know I'll be away. I pulled out my silvery gray cell phone from my hip pocket to call her, but I couldn't get a signal. Mr. Happy took his seat behind the cart's wheel. The cart bounced in response. I'm afraid you won't be able to make any outside calls until the park is open. The transponder is shut down right now to save money. Only calls within the park are possible, but I have a landline phone in my office. If there's someone you'd like to contact, I'll relay the message for you. I put my phone away, and with caution as avoid hitting my head against the top in the process, sat down in the cart. Are there any payphones around? Mr. Happy started up the cart. All public access phones are out of service while the park is closed. The signals pass through the same transponder. We do have a local system that allows us to contact each other, though without the other employees here you could only reach me or Melanie. As we drove off, I looked back and took one last look at the broken device and gave it a parting thought. This damage had been done on purpose, but what that purpose was would depend on who damaged it. Once I had figured out who, then I should know why. The Unstoppable Ride is written by PJ McNamara. You can find episodes at PodcastPing at podcastping.blogspot.com. PodcastPing is also available on iTunes. Thank you for listening.